The Overture to Candide, music of Leonard Bernstein on Classical IPR Interlochen Public Radio. I'm Amanda Sewell, and that music was chosen by our guest this hour, Brad Warnar. Well, let's see, Brad, you are a hornist, a composer, an arranger, and an Interlochen alumnus.
Yes.
All of those, did I leave anything out?
A dad.
Dad, husband.
dad of Interlochen alumnus.
Oh, alumna. Well, welcome. We're glad to have you here.
I'm so happy to be here.
During the drive. And you curated most of our playlists that we're going to hear this hour.
Yes.
So tell us why we just listened to the Bernstein.
Yeah, when we first spoke and I realized I was going to be choosing some repertoire, I thought, okay, well, out of the 100,000 pieces of music that I know and love intimately, which where do I start? And I just want to say, I'm going to try and not sound too much like a walking advertisement for this station, but this,
oh, we love that.
This radio station is a very, I can't emphasize how important a part of my life it is, because my life is all music. And I think when I was here, having this station allowed me to, I think when I left Interlochen, I was familiar with about a good half of the standard repertoire. And of course, the repertoire now, some of the standard repertoire is written by composers who weren't even born yet when I was here. But it gave me a very full knowledge of the repertoire, and more importantly, a hunger for learning yet more about it. So if you and your listeners will indulge me just for a minute, I just want to do a little story about how it was that I was listening to this station.
Sure. And can we tell them when you were here at the Interlochen Arts Academy? Are we allowed to divulge the dates?
Yeah, it was 1721.
This is Thomas Jefferson's birthday.
I heard that earlier. Yeah. The famous violinist.
Yes.
1965 through 1968.
Okay.
Were my years here. My daughter, I mentioned it, was here 41 years later than I was, which just makes it about 10 years ago. And when Clara lived here, Thor Johnson was where she lived. That's the residence hall for the female contingent of the students here. When I was here, Thor Johnson was our conductor. So two different Thor Johnsons as part of our respective Interlochen experiences.
Yeah, Clara and Dad had very different ideas of Thor Johnson.
quite so. But Thor Johnson was a great champion of American music and of 20th century music in general. And you know, when I was here, that was the middle of the 20th century. So
third.
Yeah. So when we toured in 1966, I think it was, one of the pieces on some of the program, not all the programs, but on some of the programs was the Candide Overture. And it didn't even occur to me until decades later, when I was probably playing it at the Hollywood Bowl or something, and I got thinking, when we played this with Thor Johnson, this was brand new music. And I looked it up this morning just to check myself on that. And it was actually composed in 1957. So it was 9 years old when we played it. That was like hot off the press.
It was.
And nobody knew it. And it was exciting new music that we were introducing to audiences for the first time. Now it's like everybody, the guy in the street can sing along with it, you know, and for good reason. It's a great piece,
Well, folks, we are talking with Brad Warnar. He's going to be here with us all this hour during this drive. For listener support, you can make your gift right now, classicalipr.org, 800-442-9422. Brad, it's not all fun and games. You can announce the challenge that's on the table now, if you can find it.
Okay, here we go.
You got to work for your...
Let's launch the weekend with a special Friday afternoon speed matching challenge. That's not something my son would like. He's all into cars, so speed matching challenge.
Speed matching challenge, okay.
An awesome pair of IPR donors wants to end the second day of a drive on a high note. That would be a B-flat, I think. And they'll match the next $600 that is raised this afternoon, dollar for dollar, until 6 p.m. So get on it, folks. Time's wasting. Call or click now to rise to the challenge for your public radio station. 800-442-9422 or classicipr.org. That's how you do it.
Classicalipr.org, 800-442-9422. The challenge is on the table. Well, speaking of Thor Johnson, the human, let's hear him conduct the Interlaken Arts Academy Orchestra. This is music from Interlaken's archives, and it features a young man who won the concerto competition that year. This is from June of 1967, a young man named Bradley Warnar.
Hey.
What is he playing in this recording?
This is a Mozart fourth horn concerto. I think we're going to play the last movement.
All right.
Because that's the one that has the fewest clams in it. No, but it's the happy movement, so
all right.
That's the one we should do.
Here you are from 67, music from Interlaken's archives. ClassicalIPR.org, 800-442-9422. And the roaring applause for hornist Bradley Warnar. Concerto winner from 1967, performing there with the Interlaken Arts Academy Orchestra, conducted by Thor Johnson. What's that like hearing yourself 51 years later,
well,
Brad?
I want to tell you, I before I came over here, I just for fun, I got out the horn and played through that movement. And that 17-year-old kid plays way better than I do.
That makes me think about how Plácido Domingo is performing a baritone role with the Met this weekend.
Yeah, maybe I should be playing tuba concertos.
Time makes fools of us all. So
I have a little story, if I may.
Okay, we got to tell the people the phone number first because
we are
trying to raise money. So 800-442-9422, classicalipr.org. Okay.
Okay.
Now.
So they select each year, I presume they're still doing this, they select soloists from a competition where you go and play with piano accompaniment, whatever it is that you would like to play with the orchestra. So I played this in my junior year, and my daughter, 41 years later, in her junior year, played a marimba concerto, and she also was selected as one of the soloists to play with the orchestra. And in each of our cases, our piano accompanist was the great Byron Hansen.
Oh, my gosh.
Mr. Interlaken to many generations
of
campers and academy students. And Byron's still my good friend. I hope that he gets a chance to hear this on the radio. He's one of a kind. And I was so excited that he was Clara's accompanist as well as mine. So
yeah, Byron Hansen is there. Yeah, an Interlaken legacy.
Yeah.
And he could probably tell her everything that you had played in his time as your accompanist and which measures you
missed. Yes, he could.
Because that's just Byron.
My brother is his physician, and he says every time he sits down with Byron, he feels like he learns something. And I said, tell me about it. I said it's like a music lesson every time I just hang out with Byron. So.
Goodness.
Great fun. Yeah.
Well, folks, if you are fans of Interlaken, if you feel connected to the world here at Interlaken, the Arts Academy, the camp, whether you were a student or faculty or just a friend of this institution or a parent or all of the above, as Brad is, please support it right now. ClassicalIPR.org, 800-442-9422. We have a $600 matching challenge on the table before 6 o'clock, and we have $500 to go on that challenge. So help us match that $600 by 6 o'clock. And Brad, let's see. You were not only a good high school hornist, you went on to an illustrious Hollywood career. So what are we, tell us about what we're going to hear next. Set us up for this.
Okay, so I pretty much upon arrival in Los Angeles, I had decided on kind of a dual career where I wanted to continue to play the horn but I was also looking to work as a composer or orchestrator in the on the production side of music for film. So what we're going to listen to next is a selection from the Three Musketeers movie from, I think it was 1993.
Three, I think, yeah.
Great fun movie. I had worked on one previous movie, which was Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves. We may get to some of that music mm-hmm. later. For Michael Kamen, who was not only one of the greatest talents ever in Hollywood, but he was one of the nicest people, and it was really a thrill to work with him. And so I had done just a little bit on Robin Hood, and they knew I was eager to kind of get in and show my mettle. And then I remember I walked into his studio. They called it the chapel. It was a chapel up. It was originally a chapel. It was built up on a hill in the back of this great property in Encino, California. And I walked in the door, and Chris Brooks, his music producer, was there, and who's a good friend of mine now, and Steve McLaughlin, who's his great engineer, and they kind of looked at me and sort of said, so you want to do some orchestrating, do you? And I said, yeah, that's it. And so they kind of said, well, do we have something for you? And they kind of smirked to each other and kind of giggled a little bit. And I went, oh, man, what am I doing for you? And Michael had written, it's a period movie, obviously. It's Three Musketeers. And he had written this wonderful suite of harpsichord music as preliminary work for writing the score. And so what they showed me was this chase scene where it's the cardinal is in his royal coach and he's being chased by the Three Musketeers, and there's guns firing and horses tripping all over the place, and they're showing me the scene, and after about 3 minutes of it, which is an eternity in film music, I went, is this ever going to end? So then he showed me what he wanted the music to be, and it was this harpsichord piece, and it was all laid out. It was, you know, it was like it goes from here to there. It changes to this music at this point and everything. But I was pretty much turned loose to orchestrate it. It wasn't like, well, this is violins and then trombones come in here and whatever. It was just like, make it big. And Michael had a word he used. He said, make it strunking. So I don't know what that means, but I did my best to make it strunking.
Okay, then. So for folks who don't know exactly what an orchestrator does, you've explained mostly where the composer hands you the notes that they want, but then you sort of have carte blanche to put them, give them to different instruments.
It really varies greatly from composer to composer and from project to project. Sometimes it's very specific. I've seen John Williams sketches, and you could almost send them to the copyist without even stopping off at the orchestrator's house. It's very, very complete and specific, but most people don't have the time to. Most people are working under crazy time constraints and don't have the luxury of being able to get all the details in. So to a greater or lesser degree, the orchestrator makes decisions on who plays what and when.
So is there a particular part of this music we're about to hear that you impressed yourself with, besides it being stronking?
Yeah. Well, I'll say I got it home with it, and I went, am I really going to be doing a 256 measure cue here? I mean, it was like I've never done anything that long before. And it took me probably 4 or 5 days to do it, but I was very happy with the way it came out. And there was one particular moment. The music is kind of romping along. It goes dum 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 dum, and right at that spot, dum 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 dum, right there, there's a gunshot there's a big puff of smoke that you see on the screen, and I just put a big whopping bass drum and cymbal crash right there. So it's dum 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 dum, and when Michael saw it, he laughed right out loud. He said, that's great.
Okay.
So that was kind of a fun moment in that cue.
Okay, so we will hear that that bass drum gunshot here in what we're about to hear. Okay, this is music orchestrated by our guest, Brad Warnar, during the drive for listener support, classicalipr.org, 800-442-9422. The cue is called The Cardinal's Coach, music from the film The Three Musketeers. Music from the film The Three Musketeers. Music composed by Michael Kamen, but orchestrated. That's the important part. By our guest, Brad Warnar, who is an Interlochen alum. He is a hornist. He is an orchestrator. He's a composer. We'll talk about that angle in a minute. I heard the gunshot there.
It's in there.
Well, you helped point it out to me while we're listening. I would have heard it anyways, though, without the cue. We are asking for your support during this drive, classicalipr.org, 800-442-9422. And Brad, you didn't just orchestrate that music.
No, that's true. I played horn on it. And I think Michael was a great musician himself. He played oboe like you never dreamed of hearing an oboe played. He just was a beautiful player and a great keyboard player as well. So I think he got a kick out of the fact that I was the only person, and a lot of orchestrators kind of came and went over the years, but I was the only one that wore both hats on his crew that I was playing and orchestrating. So
for all you kids out there thinking about being professional musicians when you grow up, you too can impress film composers if you can both play and orchestrate, right?
There you go. And if you can dance, even better.
ClassicalIPR.org, 800-442-9422. So you've played horn in what, like two or three films?
Yeah, two or three.
100,000?
I think about 1,000. It gets hard to count after a while, but it's somewhere around 1,000.
Where may we have heard your horn playing?
You know, it's like I went online a couple of days ago because I get that question and I knew I was going to get it. And I always choke up. I said, I don't know what name a movie and I'll tell you if I played it. You know, it's like,
are you on IMDb?
I certainly am.
Well, cool.
So. But orchestration shows up more there than playing. Some people enter their own movies, all the movies they've played on IMDb, and that's like, come on. But the one that always gets people's attention is Lion King, because everybody saw Lion King.
Oh, I bet a bunch of people just made the face that I just made when you said that.
Yeah.
And you did the Fast and the Furious movies.
Did all those, right? Played and orchestrated actually not all of them, because the fourth one they hired somebody else for some silly reason.
And clearly they saw the error of their ways and brought you back for the next, what are there, like 15
for five,
of them?
Yeah, well, actually Fast 5 was one of the best ones. And we did 6 and 7 and 8. We just did Fate. It's a little play on words, Fate of the Furious.
Last year.
Guess who was in the percussion section? Another Interlochen alumna.
Clara?
That would be Clara.
Warnar? Well, yeah. There you go.
Isn't that fun? Was fun.
Awesome.
Take your daughter to work day. Take your old dad to work day.
Well, folks, if you enjoy learning about the people behind the music, as we are doing right now, wasn't that a documentary? You can give now at classicalipr.org, 800-442-9422. I want to thank some of the folks who have given during this drive. Beverly Brighton from Boone, thank you for an alliterative name and location and gift. Bill and Kathy Beck from Arcadia, thank you folks very much for giving during this drive. Pam and Steve Horn from Interlochen, thank you for your support. And Mary Grover from Traverse City, thank you. Join them, join hundreds of others when you give right now at classicalipr.org or 800-442-9422. So, in addition to being a hornist and orchestrator, you are also a composer.
So I hear.
Well, we are about to hear. And the premiere recording of a piece of yours has just been released on Naxos.
Yes, indeed it has.
So tell us about the piece.
Well, being a horn player and being a composer, naturally for decades I've been threatening to write a horn concerto. And a few years ago I was reading a book by a biography of Philip Farkas, who was the first horn in the Chicago Symphony under Fritz Reiner, and one of the great pedagogues of the French horn. And he wrote a book that I learned to play the horn from, honestly. So he was kind of my teacher, only, even though I only met him once and very briefly. But so in reading the book, I realized that he was born in 1914. And lo and behold, it was 2014. And I thought, this is his centennial year. So that's my message. That's my sign. It's my burning bush. It's time for me to write that horn concerto. And so I got right on it.
That's great. Well, we have the premiere recording of it. It just came out, like just like a month or so ago.
Yeah.
On the Naxos label, the Nashville Symphony with Giancarlo Guerrero. And the hornist is, her name just fell out of my brain.
Leslie Norton.
Leslie Norton is the hornist, and she's someone that you know.
I do now.
And she advocated for Nashville to record this because she thought it was a pretty cool concerto.
She did, yeah.
And we think it's pretty cool as well. We're going to listen to the third and final movement. Tell us, there's quite a story here of how this came together.
Yeah, I think I'm maybe giving away the joke a little bit. Well, about how the music came together.
Yeah.
There's a little joke that it's, you don't want to give away too much of your jokes, but what happens halfway through is the orchestra starts to kind of poke fun at the soloist, because every piece of music, including the Mozart concerto we heard earlier, every piece of music written for the horn in three-movement form, or four-movement form for that matter, ends in 6-8. And it's got this dum-da-dum-da-dum, the horsey riding down.
I think we heard some carriage riding.
Yeah,
in 6-8.
Yes, indeed.
Ago,
that was
sir.
6-8 also. So, and it kind of is reminiscent of the hunting horns that were the precursors of the modern instrument. So composers just kind of defaulted to that, it seems. And in writing a tarantella, I found myself in 6-8 world also, and I kind of felt like, oh man, did I really, really do this? And so I thought maybe the orchestra should have some fun with the soloist. So the orchestra starts to quote every every third movement of everything that was written for horn, as if to say, look, here's the, they're making a case.
You're
of saying,
doing it right now.
Yeah, right. Finally, the horn has had enough and interrupts with what sounds like it's going to be the opening of the Strauss first horn concerto, but it morphs into the horn call from Till Eulenspiegel. So at that point, we understand that it's all a joke, and it goes frolicking on off to the end.
All right. All in good fun. Let's hear the premiere recording of Brad Warnar's Horn Concerto. This is the third and final movement, featuring hornist Leslie Norton, and Giancarlo Guerrero conducts the Nashville Symphony. ClassicalIPR.org, 800-442-9422. Music of our guest, Brad Warnar, his horn concerto. We heard the third and final movement. That is the premiere recording, brand new on the Naxos label, featuring hornist Leslie Norton with Giancarlo Guerrero conducting the Nashville Symphony Orchestra. Cool.
Yeah, it's
cool.
They both. Leslie is just a wonderful person, and we had a great time. And her husband Chris is equally wonderful guy. And Giancarlo is great. He's a person you just want to hang out with as soon as you meet him, you know. And they did very diligent work on him. I was there for all the rehearsals, and Giancarlo worked very hard to get everything out of the piece that's there. And so I'm very grateful to these folks.
Well, folks, in all likelihood, you just heard that piece for the very first time here on Classical IPR. And we have the composer right here to tell us about it, which is very cool. ClassicalIPR.org, 800-442-9422.
So before we leave this piece, I'm going to throw out a little trivia item here, and I wonder if anybody out there noticed it, because a lot of my professional musician friends don't notice it when they hear this piece. But this piece is, like the other two movements, is written entirely on the white notes of the piano. There's nary a sharp nor a flat in the entire piece. So just a little trivia bit.
That's very Copland-esque.
Diatonic harmonies.
Yeah.
I stumbled into it. I started writing the piece, and I realized it was that was a characteristic of it. And I didn't want it to sound like Copland, and I didn't want it to be in a key. Didn't want it to be C major or A minor or D Dorian or whatever that would be. But so I took it as a challenge to kind of write something that is not real strongly tonal, but only uses those seven notes. So it was fun.
All right. Facts from the composer himself about the work. ClassicalIPR.org, 800-442-9422 during this drive for listener support. What's next on your playlist?
The next thing that I chose is a selection, and we're just going to hear one short selection, but from the score that was written by Bernard Herrmann for Hitchcock's movie Torn Curtain, which is dear to the hearts of horn players for reasons that I will explain. Hitchcock was being pressured by the studios to have hipper music in his, even though nobody ever wrote hipper music from Bernard Herrmann,
but
to have, you know, kind of rock and jazz and this and that. So Hitchcock went to Herrmann and said, can you make it, let it, it needs to have a beat, you know, or whatever, however he said
do something cool.
And Bernard Herrmann wrote what he wrote, and Hitchcock came onto the stage the first day and heard one cue and fired him. And that was the last time they worked together, and perhaps not coincidentally, it was the last hit movie that movie wasn't a hit, and Hitchcock didn't make any hit movies after that. But here's why French horn players love this piece.
Yes.
It was scored for 12 flutes, 9 trombones, 2 tubas, 16 French horns, and a small string section.
And a partridge in a pear tree.
But 16 French horns, you gotta love that, right?
You have to call in everyone you know
to
play that.
Well, speaking of that, this is a recording by the Los Angeles Philharmonic, and they have 6 horns, so they needed 10 more, and I was fortunate to have been one of them, so I got to play on this, and there's some rip-snorting horn playing in there, it'd be fun to give it a listen.
16 rip-snorting horns.
Rip-snorting horns.
Performing music of Bernard Herrmann that was intended for Torn Curtain. ClassicalIPR.org, 800-442-9422. That's a lot of horns.
Yeah, it is.
Like 16. I mean, you can tell there are 16 horns.
And they're all playing loud.
It is indeed rip-snorting.
Rip-snorting.
Good music. So, Brad Werner, thank you so much for coming in
today.
It's
such a pleasure.
This is a lot of fun to hear, you know. I mean, we love that Interlochen alumni go on to have really great careers, and then you get to come back and bring us your music, which is really fun. The problem is we've been talking about you all hour, and this is the IPR drive for listener support. So
let's make some money.
We need to talk about us for a second here.
Do that.
And I mean, you've been listening to IPR pretty much since its inception.
It's in my DNA, absolutely. I almost said it's in my IPA. You can see where my mind's going.
It's almost 6 o'clock.
It's getting there.
Done.
Yeah.
Just hang on.
As I mentioned, I used to walk past what is now Thor Johnson and stop in the lobby that always had the radio playing, and I had a game with Mrs. Jewell, who was the house mother then. I would walk in and she'd say, "Okay, Brad, what are we listening to?" And I didn't really know the repertoire at that point. But it really taught me to listen carefully, and so that I didn't want her to call me out, you know. So I could say, "Well, it sounds like Brahms. I don't know this, but it sounds like Brahms, and it sounds like it's in F. So I know that Brahms Third is in F. So I say it's Brahms Third Symphony." She go like, "How do you do that?" And I'm like, "I don't know." But it just really developed my ear, and I heard a lot of the repertoire for the first time because this station plays everything. But definitely the standard repertoire was well represented back then. And I continue to learn new music from listening to this station. Every time I mentioned that I have family that live here in the immediate area, I could probably stand out front here and shout and they could hear me. Every time I come up to visit, if I rent a car in Detroit and drive up, by the time I get around Cadillac, I'm fiddling with the radio saying, "Where are they? Where are my guys? I'm looking for 88.7. And, you know, first thing when I got in my rental car the other day, it's like, tune in the radio. Before you find the windshield wiper, find the radio station, you know. So, I continue to learn things from this station. And it's since music is all of what I'm about, and, you know, to have brought that much musical education, you know, to me is absolutely, I'll never be able to return the debt of gratitude that I have for this station.
Well, folks, we hear from a lot of you during the drive that you've been listening since the 60s, since the 70s. And if that's you, please support it right now. ClassicalIPR.org, 800-442-9422. And Brad, even though you live in the big city of Los Angeles, you still stream us.
I do, because my station plays the same 20 pieces of music over and over again. And if I want to hear something different, I got to stream you guys. But it's nostalgia too. You know, it's like I kind of feel like I'm transported back here when I can stream you guys and listen in. So,
well, if Classical IPR is a part of your music education, your ongoing music education, you can support it. ClassicalIPR.org. 800-442-9422. And the last piece we're going to hear is one that you learned listening to IPR.
This piece, I brought this one because this is more the Thor Johnson connection. I had the privilege of working for a number of years at Thor Johnson's Peninsula Music Festival in Fish Creek, Wisconsin. And the first year, I think it was, that I went there, I was so lucky because I was playing alongside Norm Schweikert, who was the horn teacher here at the time and went on a few years later to become a member of the Chicago Symphony during the glory days. He was the second horn to Dale Clevenger's first horn and all the great Schulte recordings and all that. So I got to hear this piece for the first time up there, actually. But Thor Johnson was like IPR in that he was always looking for something new to present to people. So this is how it came to me.
Great. Well, we're going to hear the opening of Le Bourgeois Gentilhomme, music of Richard Strauss. And it's performed here by the Buffalo Philharmonic, led by Joanne Folletta. Brad, thanks so much for coming in today.
It's been such a pleasure. Thank you.
ClassicalIPR.org, 800-442-9422.